From Italy to the Canadian Rockies and beyond, Gazette Travel makes exploring the world easy and stress-free. See our full lineup of tours at thegazette.com/travel.
Well, welcome back to another episode of Hawk Off the Press. My name is Madison Herzig. I am the Iowa Athletics beat reporter, and I am joined by first-year head coach for the Iowa softball program, Stacey Mae Johnson, a former softball player, too. Let's not forget that part as well. Coach, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yes, it feels like we've blown by the school year, and we're already 2 weekends into the softball season, so it's been a busy couple months for you, but I'm just curious to start things off. You know, take us through what it's been since you've decided that you were going to come back to the program as a head coach.
Well, a whirlwind this summer, you know, and that's what it is. That's what the job is when you take over a program. I mean, quite honestly, anymore, that means you're reassembling a roster. And, you know, luckily I was in place early and so had the summer to do that. But yeah, it was crazy trying to get the team assembled for the fall. And then, you know, the full swing of fall with, training, recruiting, on campus, off campus, and then, you know, the season in the spring. So, it's been a good few months. It's been a fun transition, and obviously we're off to a good start on the field. So that's always nice too.
Yeah. 7-2 start through your first 2 weekends. That included a nice little trip down south. You guys were able to go visit some warmer weather. Although I think a lot of us in Iowa appreciate you bringing the warm weather back these last couple of days. I'm not going to lie. The 60-degree weather, I'm thoroughly enjoying this too.
Yeah, it's great. We're practicing outside, so that's good.
That's even better. Getting a chance to practice outside in mid-February too. But a 7-2 start, going to Tallahassee and then just being able to play in the MUSB Invitational. I wanted to make sure I had the acronym right, in Macon, Georgia. With such an impressive start, what were some of your biggest takeaways that you guys were able to have with the roster you put together and some of the off-season things you were working on, kind of getting a chance to see that really come to fruition in a sense in those first 9 games?
Well, you know, 7-2 is a nice start. You know, I guess this is coach speak, but it's true. I mean, you know, these early season games, I mean, obviously we want to win every single time we step on the field. But really our primary goal is we want to play good softball. We want to become a good softball team so that the wins do come. And, you know, early on we can swing it, you know, we're scoring some runs, we're hitting home runs, and, there's some pretty potent offense in here. And it's fairly deep, you know, it goes pretty deep into the lineup. So that's been obviously probably the highlight so far. And, you know, just being able to play from behind and score a lot of runs to come back and win. That's all been really, really cool. You know, from week one to week two, our pitching and defense really got a lot better. You know, we started to really come together towards the end of this second weekend. That last game against Western Kentucky was a hard fought game. Not only did we have to play from behind, but we had to make big pitches and make big plays defensively at the end to hang on. And so those types of games are always tremendously valuable for a team in its growth, you know, and then obviously to come away from that game with a win against a quality opponent was really nice.
Well, I'll hone in a little bit on the offense here for a second. I remember talking with you during media day, and you said that you would like to see the offense progress. And well, through 9 games, you have 14 home runs with your team. I feel like that's a pretty good number to start with. You mentioned when we were talking earlier that the offense has kind of exceeded your expectations through these first few games. What about this offense and having the depth that it is such a profound thing for you in this first season as head coach?
Well, an offense is always nice to have in any season. I think what's really impressed me the most is, you know, the talent was always there. The ability was always there. We saw that from the first day. But throughout the fall season, we saw an offense that was just really slow to adjust. They knew what they needed to do. They knew the adjustments they needed to make. but they struggled to make them and struggled to put pressure on our opponents with that offense because they were making a good adjustment. So it just wasn't firing at the level that we would have liked to have seen. Coming back from break and in the preseason training, they're only hitting against our own pitchers at that point. So sometimes it's hard to tell, but you kind of felt like there might be something different here, but you really weren't sure because it's just the same few pitchers all the time that they're hitting off of. And then when we got out onto that field and started playing somebody other than us, it was like, okay, no, they really did turn a corner and there's some real ability in this group.
What about that as a head coach is fun to watch? I feel like every coach always has a couple moments in preseason and the early seasons where you kind of start to see the potential that you found in a lot of these players come to fruition. But for you, when you see them hit against each other really well, I mean, was there a moment at all during the weekend where you were able to turn to your coaching staff and say, okay, yeah, like this is the team we have? Or is it kind of like a slow building progression that you guys are working through?
Well, it's both. We definitely have enjoyed the moments and have enjoyed. I mean, Mac Lightgen, the grand slam, walk-off grand slam against Army. I mean, that was sweet. That's just unbelievable. A great moment for her and obviously a great moment for our program. And so we've certainly enjoyed those moments along the way. But I also think we don't look at this and think, oh, we've arrived. Like we have a lot of improving to do on both sides of the ball. And so, that's what it is like have some fun and enjoy the good moments. But like ultimately, we're never going to stop. We're the way I see it is until we're the best in the country. And even when we are the best in the country, we're just looking for ways to get better and looking for ways to improve from one week to another. And so that's really our focus right now is, going from week two to week three, continuing to solidify our pitching and our defense, and really grabbing any low-hanging fruit that we see offensively, because there's some players in our offense that, as good as we've been, we still have players that haven't broken out yet. And I guess that's good that we have depth. We have a lot of people that can get the job done. When one person is a little off, somebody else steps up, and that's what we've seen, and that's great. But long-term, we just want to get them all going at the same time.
Mm-hmm. And you guys will play your next couple games in North Carolina for the Campbell softball tournament. That's another stretch of games over the course of, I think it's total of 5 games over 3 days. Normally, that's usually about the norm for a lot of it. You mentioned there's some things you want to see this offense and defense continue to improve on. I'm just curious, what were some of those things that you saw out of those first 9 games that you say, okay, like this is a spot that, we need to continue to improve on?
Yeah, well, I did think the most glaring thing was the defense. We had week one, we had drop pop flies, stuff that should have been caught that fell. And then, just communication issues on balls in the air. And then the first game of this last weekend, the infield, we made a bunch of errors. We were just very poor in the infield, not clean. By the end of the weekend, we were very clean, made the routine plays, and then also came up with a couple of really big ones down the stretch that ended up saving the game. So that's the type of defense we want to play all the time. We're going to make all the routine plays, and we're going to make some of the great plays too. And just make it really, really hard for our opponents to score runs. And every run that they score, they're going to earn. And that's really the type of identity that we want with pitching and defense. And we are still working towards that. So I think that's probably the thing that stood out the most, but it's also an area where we've progressed, even in just a 9-game stretch.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask about this because this is a little bit more of a scheduling question. And I know first year head coaches don't always get like a complete say with some of the scheduling, but you guys don't host your first true home game until March 20th. Which is just over a month away as we're recording this on the 17th. But with the number of tournaments that softball participates throughout the year, what is that like in terms of the environment that you create with your team when you guys are going on the road for as long as you are, even before you start playing Big Ten opponents in just regular weekend series?
Yeah, I mean, there's a variety of experiences. You know, you go down to a Florida State, you play Florida State, and the crowd is not silent. It's more along the lines of hostile, you know, and then, you know, down in Macon, it was pretty quiet, you know, and they're all opportunities to grow, you know, like they're all like, you go down to Florida State and you play in a hostile environment, and LSU will be the same, and McNeese will be the same. You know, we have to learn to shut that out and play our game. On the other hand, when you go to some of the tournaments where there's not a huge crowd, whether the weather wasn't great or whatever the circumstances are, well, then we've got to make our own energy. You know, we don't rely on the crowd for any energy. We make our own. So all of these different scenarios test us in a lot of different ways. And we just have to show up and be able to reinvent ourselves every single day. And how we're going to win a softball game every single day. It's not always the same. That's okay. I mean, adaptability is one of the most important, in my mind, one of the most important attributes of a great team is, you know, can you win in a variety of conditions against a variety of pitching, you know, against a variety of different offenses? You have to be able to beat them all, you know? And so, you know, I welcome those challenges. Those don't bother me. I think they're good for us.
Mm-hmm. What do you remember about going on the road as a player for this program? What do you remember, some hostile environments that you got to play in, and maybe some of those things that you learned a couple of years back then that you're able to kind of coach through some of these younger athletes who are getting their opportunities now?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, I had the opportunity to experience all of that, you know, and I mean, I've been in their shoes. I know what it feels like. I know that, you know, on Sunday, your body feels a little bit like a train wreck, you know? And, yeah, so, I mean, it's quite honestly, it's not about me. My time came and went, and I'm grateful for it. I don't talk a lot about, you know, my playing days. I just, this is my time is done. It's their time now. And so I do get to, you know, support them through their experiences, and I'm certainly aware of some of the pitfalls, and so, you know, hopefully we can coach to those things and get ahead of some of the pitfalls. So they're a great group, and you know, I thoroughly enjoy coaching, probably more than I enjoyed playing, to be honest. It took a mm-hmm. long time. It took a number of years to get to that point where, okay, I enjoy coaching as much as I enjoyed playing. Okay, now I enjoy coaching more than I enjoyed playing. And I'm probably at that point, not probably, I am at that point. So, so that's a cool thing, just to kind of be on the other side of it and just get to love them and support them and grow them in their journeys.
Mm-hmm. Is the support aspect of it why you've come to grow to love coaching maybe more than you did when you actually were playing the sport itself? Like what kind of got you to that point?
I love all of it. I love the game. I love the preparation. I love the people. I love watching them succeed. I just, the, you know, the rush, there's an adrenaline rush on that field, just the same coaching as there was playing, you know, it'll get you fired up. The heart rate will go up a little bit. So, I couldn't pinpoint one thing. I just love everything about it.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I remember when we were talking with a bunch of the players during softball media day before the first tournament of the year was one of the things they loved was that you understood a lot of what they had gone through because you had gone through a lot of it yourself. How much of being somebody that, like, how much of that understanding is so important for you, especially as the coming into the program when you did in the off season, having all of that time to really connect with this team? How important was it for you to be able to gain the trust of saying, not only do I understand it because I was a college softball player, but I was a college player here too?
Yeah, I mean, the trust is everything. The relationship is everything between them, between our coaching staff and them. Yeah, I mean, the relationship is really what sets the tone, and it's really what allows us to coach. I mean, if you have bad relationship and you want to go be hard on a player, you can't do it. It just doesn't work. If you have a good relationship, you can do the exact same thing and it makes them better. And so, I mean, I think that really that's what it comes down to is trust, and it is those relationships, and, you know, and they need to know that we care about them. And yes, we're here to win. And that's not like minimizing, you know, because we care about them, because we invest in them as people, that it certainly doesn't minimize what we're trying to accomplish on the field. You know, but it's got to be the platform for everything, because if they don't know that, if they don't know that you care about them, if they don't know that that you have their best interests at heart, if they don't know that you're working for them, then, you know, they're not going to work for you, you know? And so, that's like, you know, at the foundation of what makes a team go is that type of relationship, amongst the players and staff. It's not just, you know, coaches to players. It's amongst players as well.
Mm-hmm. And then out of curiosity, let's do a little bit of almost like, I feel like superlatives is almost like way too early of a phrase to say, but I feel like the easiest way to almost kind of go through the roster here. You've got 7 players from the state of Iowa on this roster. You've been massive on in-state recruiting since you've gotten here. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later, but I'm just curious, who has stood out to you maybe the most throughout fall camp? I guess you could say, who is your mid-February maybe most improved at this point, if there is one person you can name?
Oh man, most improved.
I probably gave you a hard one to start with. I do apologize for that.
There's been a lot of improvement. I'll answer your question. I'll get to that. But one of the things we were very interested to see, we knew we had a lot of talent coming in from the portal for the freshman class, but we also had a good core of returners. Mm-hmm. And one of the things we were very, very interested to see was, it is a different training program. It's a very dynamic way of training. And we practice hard, we practice well, we're thoughtful in what we do. And so we were very interested to see how the returners would respond to that, because we felt like there was good talent in that returning class that hadn't quite put it all together yet on the field. And so we were like, hey, which of these returners is just going to have like a breakout season? You know, which of them is really going to step up? And so this is where I'll come to the answer to your question of like, who has really improved? Listen, I've got 3 off the top of my head. There might be more. Echo Mattiello, Devin Simon, Tori Bennett. You know, they're all doing things on that field right now that they haven't done in their careers. Really, really good things. And they've been integral part of our success. I mean, you know, all 3 of them have spent significant time in the top 4 spots in the lineup. And we talk about the freshmen, and this is no knock on the freshmen, but like the freshmen aren't who the freshmen are without the upperclassmen returners doing what they're doing. So, you know, I think the answer is yes, they did respond to a really dynamic player development program is essentially what we're running. They did respond to that and they got better. And I think the proof is in the pudding.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting you mentioned Tori Bennett. I was going to ask about her. She had 2 home runs for 4 RBIs throughout these first 9 games. You mentioned that she's somebody that has seen a lot of at-bats in college softball. What about her ability to adapt to the new training style that you as a coaching staff has kind of created? How has that benefited her? Is it a mental switch? Is it the physicality? Is it both of it? Where has that change come from?
Yeah, sometimes it's hard to put your finger on it because, I mean, we're attacking the whole thing. We attack it holistically. We attack it physically, mentally, you know, approach, scouting reports. Like we attack the whole thing. We're trying to be great in every single aspect. And so sometimes it's hard to put your finger on, oh, well, it was this thing, you know, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe, you know, who knows? I just know she's playing better. And I just know that when you put in a good system, a really, really good system, players just get better and they just play well, you know? Mm-hmm. And so can I put my finger on it? No, but I just know it works. And she's a really, really good player. I have to give a lot of credit to Coach Franz Troop. She puts together a really nice game plan. She's a very good scouter of opponent pitchers and, you know, gets the hitters in the box with a really good plan, and then trains them, you know, Monday through Friday to be able to execute a plan when it's called upon. And so I think that's starting to line up as well. So we've got a really good hitting coach. We have really talented athletes. Strength coach is really good, you know, and we work really hard.
And the other one of the superlatives, again, I'm throwing the air quotes in at this, but you mentioned that this team is very deep, whether it's the offense style, whether it's the pitching and the committee style that you have. Who's maybe a name that we haven't seen or you feel like needs to be spoken about maybe a little bit more? And why do you think that person kind of should be highlighted this early in the year?
Well, do I have to pick one?
You can give me multiple. That's fine. We got time.
I got a bunch. Well, You know, we've for the pitching staff, I think Saran Neese probably comes in the most experienced, and then Avery Sapp, you know, Saray's a senior and Avery Sapp's a junior, and those guys are they're tried and tested and they're gonna be successful. But Braylon Conlin's thrown really well as a freshman. And you know, she's certainly somebody that, you know, came out of the gate, and I mean, you've seen the numbers, they're good. Doesn't mean she's pitching perfect right now, but like, you know, you watch it and you're like, hey, there's something there. And then, you know, pitchers, you know, Carly Brewer and Jay Leojo, like, I mean, there's a ton of ability there. There's a ton of ability there. So, you know, it's certainly not going to be a staff where we rely on two or even three. It's going to go deeper than that. But I would say Braylon Conlin would be one. I have a lot. I mean, Avery Jackson is elite defensively at third base. She's elite, and she's hitting down in our nine hole. She's hitting great. She's really great down in our nine hole, and she's an unbelievable base runner. She's also the heart of the team, like vocally, and she does so many things well. And I mean, if she continues to hit like this, I mean, she was already elite defensively. And so then you throw in a really good bat, and if that's your nine hole, boy, watch out, you know. I don't even have to stop there. I think Kiara Seip has been clutch. You know, she's getting these big hits at the end of games to win, you know, walk off, I believe, against UConn, big hit late in the game against Western Kentucky. And she's good defensively, you know, to be able to grab like home runs, home run power from second base. That's nice. That's really nice. Do I have to stop?
We can keep going. Like, the floor is yours by all means, coach. Like
Mariah Myers is as talented of a hitter as this program's ever seen. We saw flashes of it down at Florida State. She struggled a little bit in week two. But I think when we get to the end of the season, it is my firm belief that Mariah Myers will emerge as the best hitter on this team. And I mean, she's got to go out there and do it, but that's the level of talent that she has. And she's a sleeping giant. You know, in an off weekend, she still hit a home run, and she had some barreled balls like in an off weekend, you know? So, Mariah's, you know, a big one. Phoenix Silva has tremendous potential. She's been coming off the bench, but she's tremendously powerful and good hitter. She's going to be really, really good. She's one to watch.
So we can keep going. We can probably need to. I know it feels kind of strange for me to be asking again like those kinds of like superlative questions in February, but with a team that, you know, it's got a good balance of those younger players that you're kind of bringing in, the transfer portal names that people are learning versus the core that has stayed. It almost is interesting, which leads me kind of into my next question. How did you decide the batting order this year? What came into the decisions, who was going to hit where?
You know, you kind of start somewhere, and then the game kind of, I guess it maneuvers the car in a different direction or the same direction. You know, we always like a lefty up at the top, just somebody that's got a bunt, somebody that can get on in a variety of ways. We've liked Echo up at the top at times. But you know, she was getting called, you know, for being out of the box at times this weekend. And so we moved her down the lineup, and you know, that's where Tori Bennett and Devin Simon came in, because, you know, they hit for power, but they're the ones that can run. They run well. And so, especially Devin's pretty fast. So, you know, and then behind that, it's like, hey, let's just put all the people that hit home runs and see what happens. But I don't know that there's, you know, when they hit the way they've been hitting, you know, it just kind of makes you look good no matter what you do. Your margins aren't quite as thin when they hit really well and they hit the ball over the fence like that. So, you know, right now I think they're just kind of making the lineup look good. It doesn't really matter which one we write. They keep hitting like that. Good things are going to happen.
Mm-hmm. And I want to ask about this. I know I warned you. I was like, there might be some questions from our conversation earlier that might bleed into this one, but I wanted to ask a little bit about the Big Ten scheduling. You don't play every team in the conference, and you don't play all 18 teams. You know, I remember you saying that, you know, if you could have an opportunity to play a Big Ten opponent that maybe isn't that one of the 18 or 15, I guess, that you play right now, you would. I'm curious, why do you have such a belief in wanting to play all 18 teams in this conference in the regular season versus maybe doing a couple in the regular season and kind of maybe testing the waters in the postseason?
Well, I wouldn't say that I'm passionate that, you know, I mean, I'd love to play everybody in conference play to have like a truly balanced schedule, but obviously that's just not feasible with, you know, 17 softball teams, not going to happen. So,
right.
You know, we're always going to have imbalances in the conference schedule, and that just it is what it is. So it's not necessarily, I wouldn't say my goal to play everybody in the conference as much as we have to write a schedule, put together a schedule to the best of our ability that meets the needs of our team. So, you know, we start with a conference schedule and then we react and adjust to that. So like if we have, you know, really, really tough conference schedule, then we back off a little in the preseason. If we have a light conference schedule, then we really get after it in the preseason. And in the end, what we're trying to do is write a balanced schedule. You know, for this particular team, I think where we're at is, you know, we kind of fell in that category where the conference schedule was really tough, so the preseason is a little bit lighter. and I think that like at 7-2, we're sitting here and wondering like, hey, are we gonna be a team that's really good at beating okay teams, or are we gonna be a team that can beat really, really good teams?
I see what you mean. No, I think that makes a ton of sense. I'm curious too with that. A couple of the opponents that you guys do have, you mentioned it earlier, Florida State, you guys have already played. You'll play LSU. You'll play McNeese State, all part of those, like, really, really, again, as you mentioned, those hostile environments. Those are programs that have created a strong fan base, too. Was it almost intentional for you guys to stay south when you would face some of those, I guess I want to say, again, in quotations, bigger or maybe the more commonly known softball program names, or did the schedule just kind of come together that way?
Yeah, there's a lot of considerations when it comes to scheduling. Wear and tear and travel is one of them. And then, you know, coming in this first year and not really having a set lineup and, you know, not really sure how all the pieces fall together. There was definitely some intentionality to the decisions that were made. We're not in full control of everything, but yeah, we definitely thought about it ahead of time.
Mm-hmm. That makes a ton of sense. Last thing I really wanted to touch on, and I bring this up because I remember you saying this during media day and it really stuck out to me. I remember we were talking a little bit about the in-state recruiting that you've done. And one of the things that you said was you always think about, you know, a high school athlete from the state of Iowa. They don't go to the bookstore right before. I mean, they might go to a bookstore right before visiting you guys, but you know that there's a softball player out there that has a Hawkeye t-shirt or an Iowa softball t-shirt sitting in their closet already. That really stood out to me, just the way that you had kind of explained that. But I'm just curious, it feels so broad, but why is that such a passion of yours to have so many Iowa natives have an interest in the University of Iowa?
Well, listen, we've got unbelievable talent in this state. And so it's never going to sit right with me or anybody else in this state for that matter when our talent goes elsewhere. Our talent that grew up with a Hawkeye t-shirt in their closet. And so they go somewhere else and they, you know, they win for somebody else. Like, it's just not going to sit right. It's not going to sit right in the state. It's not going to sit right with me. And so we're just not going to let that happen. You know, we're going to go after all of the talent in this state. And, you know, and quite honestly, as far as I'm concerned, I don't care who it is. We have a shot at any recruit that was born within these state borders. You know, we have a brand. We have a brand in this state. We have a brand in the Midwest, and we want to leverage that brand. You know, we want people to be excited about who we are and what we're doing. The time is now. We are primed right now. The word has already gotten out. You know, the word has already gotten out that Iowa is back recruiting in the state of Iowa, and it's been very, very powerful for us, for our brand, for our team, for our future. And so, you know, now's the time. We're gonna strike while the iron is hot. And I fully believe that, you know, we can get anybody that grew up in this state on our campus for a visit. And if we can get them on our campus for a visit, we can get them in a black and gold jersey.
What's it like seeing the reaction? You mentioned that word has spread that you guys are searching for in-state talent. What's it been like seeing high school players? I know you've gone out to a few high school games already. Has it been fun seeing some Iowa high schoolers be like, oh my gosh, there's Coach Mae Johnson. Like, there she is. Like, she's looking at us now. What's it been like to see that reaction?
Yeah, it's been really cool. You know, I think that like people are appreciative of that. They're appreciative that we're out there, we're at the games. You know, we're bringing those student athletes on campus and you know, hopefully, you know, getting them into our jersey here. And so the response has been really positive, and it's just been really cool to see the narrative change in the state and get people really just excited about Iowa softball again. And certainly we have to back it up with wins. You know, like there's no beating around the bush on that. You know, you got to recruit the state, and you got to win. You got to win with the state too. And so it's been cool to see the narrative change and the way people talk about it. But then also see, you know, the team kind of come out to a hot start and say like, hey, it wasn't just hype. There's really something good happening over there. There's something that people really want to be a part of.
Mm-hmm. One thing I want to ask here is you mentioned, you know, that you have to back it up. You have to be able to, you can talk the talk, but you have to show up and show out. You've had an experience of, you know, seeing how far this program can really go. What is it going to take for this team to be able to reach similar or surpass the heights that you experienced when you wore the black and gold jersey?
Yeah, we got to do everything right. I mean, we have to be excellent and elite in everything that we do. And nothing can get by us, you know, meaning, you know, we can't just, oh, well, we're just going to go all in on our offense. No, we have to be all in our offense. We got to be all in our pitching. We got to be all in our defense. We've got to be great recruiters. You know, we have to train well. We have to have a great strength coach. You know, we have to have great preparation. We have to be better preparers than our opponents. I mean, everything has got to be elite, you know, and that's really what we're focused on doing is being elite. And then, you know, with that, we're going to continue to get better and better and better recruits. And as we get better and better, better recruits into a great player development system, you know, then we're going to win more, and then we're going to get better recruits, and then we're going to win more. But really it just starts with excellence in everything that we do, top to bottom.
Mm-hmm. Well, Coach, I appreciate your time. Thank you so much. Hopefully you're enjoying these first few months before a little bit of warm weather you brought back to Iowa before you head back out towards the East Coast into North Carolina. But I appreciate you taking the time today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. If you guys like this content, there's a new podcast every single week and a free newsletter with the same name, Hawk Off the Press, that comes out every Thursday, every Friday morning. Thank you so much for watching. We will see you next time.
Travel should be simple. With Gazette Travel, every detail is handled. You just show up and enjoy with fellow Iowans. View available trips at thegazette.com/travel.